In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created.
And thou shalt renew
the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, that instruct the hearts of your faithful by light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Mount Carmel, pray for us. St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Ignatius,
pray for us.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Good evening.
Good evening, Father.
So this evening I'd like to try to carry out two objectives. One is I'd like to speak about what it means to live out our consecration. Because in 6 days we're going to be making our consecration. So this will be the last formal lecture that you have from me. This is it, okay? So I'd like to try to speak. What does it mean to live out our consecration to Mary? So that'll be probably the very heart of my lecture this evening. Then I'd like right now to speak about how are we going to consecrate ourselves to Mary. So let's talk about that now. Next Monday is the day of your consecration. It happens to be the feast day of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. It's July 16th. So it's a very, very beautiful day to make your consecration. Very beautiful day, Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So that'll be your day of consecration. Now, how are we going to develop, or rather live out that evening? Okay, we're not going to meet here, but rather we're going to be going over to the old church. And we invite you to bring your family. Okay? Bring your family. Okay? Because it's going to be a very, very beautiful Mass. And we want your family to be attracted to the beauty of Jesus and Mary in the Mass. So that your family members will want to consecrate themselves to Mary. They use that as a, you might say, a missionary vehicle to attract them. My desire as an oblate of the Virgin Mary priest is to consecrate the whole world to Mary. That's my sincere ambition. Will that become a reality? Maybe not, but at least that's my intention. No? But we have to do that individually. Each one of us has to be a missionary of Mary. So please invite your husband, your daughter, friends, so that next week we fill up the new church. We got room for 1,100 people, so invite as many as you want. Okay. Some are hanging from the rafters. That's fine. Okay. Okay. So invite as many as possible. Okay, so we're going to have our Mass, next Monday at 7:15. I'll invite all of you to come. I'll be here by 7 o'clock. Okay, 7 o'clock in the new church. Okay, so they'll be finishing the Mass at 6:15. They probably won't pray the rosary. We'll set everything up. So see this as a very, very special day. Now, responding to some of your mental reflections, I think some of you are thinking about this now, and I think I'm reading your mind. Not that I'm not a kudan dad or not, but I have a little bit of common sense, no? Is some of you probably have already consecrated yourself to Mary. My first consecration to Mary was in the year 1976, maybe before some of you were born, no? So that's, what is that, 42 years ago, right? I think. My math is not faulty, no? I made it in New Hampshire with my mom, and then after that I wanted to become a priest. So I see that as a motivation to want to be a priest, give yourself to Mary, and Mary takes us by the hand to the hand and heart of Christ. So what I'm saying is, even if this is your 42nd time you're renewing it, doesn't matter. Because you go deeper. I compare Marian devotion to the Atlantic, the Pacific Ocean, okay? Because we're in California, we're not in New Hampshire, are we, no? Is that you can be walking along the shore and the foam of the wave can come and spit itself out and brush your toes, or you can go into a ship and go 10 miles out and you drop the anchor and it's going down and down and down and down and down, almost as if it's never going to hit the ground. That's an image that I like to give of Marian devotion. Your Marian devotion can be very superficial, okay? Can be very superficial if you want, or your Marian devotion can be very profound. Hopefully every consecration you make, your consecration and trust in Mary is going deeper and deeper. Amen? I honestly believe you cannot love Mary too much. You can't love Mary too much. And the more you love Mary, the more you're going to be loving Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
A simple analogy. If you spend some time talking with my mother and enjoying her presence, that makes me joyful. Because I love my mother. Hopefully you do too. Okay? I really have a great devotion to my Heavenly Mother. I have a good relationship with my earthly mother, no? You spend time with her and you're enriched by my mother's presence, you're enriching me too. So she's not blocking union to Christ, but rather she's fortifying it all the more. Okay, maybe what I'm going to say now is a no-brainer, or as obvious as the nose on your face when you look in the mirror in the morning. But the ceremony that you're going to be receiving is very important. But it's done in the context of the Mass. What I just finished 5 minutes ago is the most sublime action in the whole universe. I transform bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. It blows my mind that God, even though I'm a big sinner, still God has chosen me to do that. It blows my mind. So the fact that you're going to be consecrating yourself in the context of a Mass, and the person that's leading this consecration happens to be a priest, is huge. It's huge. Well, lay people could do this. But the fact that you got a priest, there's an added blessing in it. Do you believe that?
Yes.
There's an added blessing because you got holy orders. Holy orders, it's huge. So, no, we could do the consecration without a Mass. We say our prayers, we sing some songs, and then we do the ceremony, and it's still done. But the fact that it's done in the context of the Mass, I think it's huge. I don't know about you people. So, this may surprise you, but Your consecration is a sacramental. Okay? It's like a nun, a girl becomes a nun, that's a sacramental. But the Mass is a sacrament. Best way I can explain it, the difference between minor league Little League baseball and the big leagues, the Angels against the Yankees. Huge difference. Minor league, Little League, Major League, Major League. If any of you understand a little bit of sports, you understand my analogy, right? So the fact that we receive the Eucharist is by far the greatest action. And Mary wants that. Mary wants that. I give so many talks, I don't remember what I say from one talk to the next, but when a lady appeared in Fatima in 1917, in Lourdes, 1854, and she appeared, rather 1858, she appeared in Guadalupe in 1531, she asked for the same thing. She asked for a church. Why? So that Jesus Christ would be born in the church every time the sacraments are celebrated. Most specifically, the sacrament of confession and the sacrament of the Eucharist. So Mary does not distance us from the church, but she brings us into the church. Last week I mentioned Lumen Gentium chapter 8. What did the church fathers in Vatican II proclaim Mary? Mater Ecclesiae. Fulton Sheen was there and he said that once that was proclaimed, Vatican II, Mary's mother of the church, it was Paul VI that was there. John the 23rd passed away before Vatican II was terminated. He said that the bishops got up and there was a round of applause that went on minutes upon minutes upon minutes proclaiming Mary Mater Ecclesiae, that's Latin for Mary's the mother of the church. So the more you love Mary, the more you love the church. I hear a lot of people say, well, I love Jesus Christ, but I don't like the church. Church stinks, no? You hear that a lot? You probably heard that, right? Yeah, I love Jesus Christ, but the church, no, that's not for me. You can't say that. By rejecting the church, you're rejecting Jesus Christ, because the church is the mystical body of Christ. You can't. Jesus Christ is present in his church. He went up to heaven. He said, I'll be with you with all, always until the end of time. Now, where the heck is he? He's in his mystical body, which is the church. So I purposely, when I make my consecrations, the crescendo or the apex is the consecration in the Mass. So all of you, maybe during this week, maybe I'm setting a noose for myself, but all of you should maybe try to go to confession. You have to, no? If you feel that you're at peace with God, okay, fine. But it's a good idea to be well disposed in your soul for that day. To receive Jesus and to receive Mary into your heart also. It's a very good practice, frequent confession. At least once a month. Some people go maybe every 2 months. Once a month is even better, I think. Some people even go more frequently. Okay, so it's going to be July 16th, which is the feast day of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Now the Mass is going to be a little bit different. Not a lot different, but a little bit different. In this sense, after the homily, God willing, we'll have I hope to have at least another two priests, maybe there'll be four priests all together, so that it's a very festive moment. I invite Father Larry Loves to come. Father Dave will, maybe we'll get five priests. We have an African priest coming in tomorrow. Hopefully he'll be here with us. Father Victor, who was here last year, some of you met him. So he will possibly be with us also. After the homily, okay, you will all have a consecration prayer to Mary. Now, there are many consecration prayers. In the book that I wrote, I'm a pretty good writer. I could write a consecration prayer myself, but I don't think I can go beyond what St. Louis de Montfort wrote with respect to depth. Just depth. You read that, you're blown away of how much this man knows and loves Mary. So I say, well, why quit a winner? And that's a poker term. I probably shouldn't be using that. No, but that's a beautiful prayer, and you'll find that at the very end of the very last page of your book. What page is that? 164. Don't go to it now, but you'll be able to find it. 164. We will probably give you a laminated card with a Sacred Heart and Immaculate Heart. We'll give you a laminated card, but it wouldn't be a bad idea for you to be reading that every day the next 6 days. I could spend a whole hour lecture just on that prayer because it's so deep. So you'll kneel down. And in front of Our Lady of Guadalupe, or Lady of Fatima, by the way, it's the same person, you'll be saying that prayer. And that will be your formal consecration to Mary. That'll be after the homily. Then you will come up like the way you come up in receiving Holy Communion. Right after that, I will bless. I'll be blessing the scapulars. Now, scapulars. Do all of you have a scapular?
Yes. No, I do not.
Okay. How many of you have scapulars? Okay, well, almost all of you have scapulars, okay? I would say then, if you don't have a scapular, you can try to get one during the course of the week. If you can't find one, you can maybe come to the office and we can get a scapular for you. But I think within the course of the week, you could probably get your own scapular. It should be brown, a brown scapular, okay? Scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, okay? So we want you to have a brown scapular. So the way we'll probably do it is this. I will bless your scapulars from where I'm at. I'll bless them. And then what I'll ask during the course of the Mass will be you come up with your scapular in front of whichever priest is in front of you, and I ask you with your scapular, is come close to the priest. Scapular my mother made for me. And you want to have the scapular not tangled. Okay? It's tangled, no, that's not good. Have the scapular like this, and you give it to the priest. And the priest will invest you with the scapular and say, receive the scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. It's as simple as that. So we're not going to be giving you pontificate and giving each of you, one of you, five-minute homily. No, it's just going to be... I've had masses where you got close to 500, 600, even close to 1,000, I think. He's been about the biggest number. This group isn't that big. But it's done pretty quickly, given that this is not a really big group. We'll probably have it done in about 15 minutes. So you'll receive your scapula, and then you go back to your place. And we proceed with the Mass. And then at the end of the Mass, what I'd like to do, if none of you oppose this, I'd like to expose the Blessed Sacrament. And then I'd like to pray the Rosary. Hopefully you don't oppose that. No. And then the scapular, or rather the chaplet. And then I'd like to have a Marian Eucharistic procession. You like that?
Yes.
I don't love it. I don't like it. I love it. No, I think it's... So we'll have a Marian Eucharistic procession with the statue of Our Lady Fatima. And I'll be blessing you with the Blessed Sacrament. We'll go around the church about one time, maybe a time and a half. And then we'll give you the blessing with the Blessed Sacrament. And we'll end with that. What do you think? So that's my style, okay? My style is Marian and Eucharistic. Okay? I'm very Catholic. I'm not Protestant, I'm Catholic. Okay? I'm proud to be Catholic. Okay? And then that's it. So that'll be the ceremony next Monday. Okay, now let's move to the second part of our lecture this evening. How can we live out our consecration to Mary? So let's see, how can we live out this consecration to Mary? I'd like to give you some suggestions that you can really try to live this out, live out your consecration in a deeper and deeper way. Okay, number one. As soon as you hear your alarm clock in the morning, okay, even though you might be a little bit groggy, a little bit tired, no? Okay, what are you going to do? Don't say, hit the snooze button. That's not what I was about to say, no? That's not living out your consecration to Mary, okay? Okay, as soon as you hear the alarm clock, then say your act of consecration to Mary. It's the first thing I do every morning. Now, do you have to memorize the act of consecration of St. Louis de Montfort? I haven't met anyone in my life yet that has that memorized, but it wouldn't be a bad idea. Because it's long. You can read it, but you can say a shorter act of consecration. But I think it's a good idea to start off your day consecrating yourself to Jesus through Mary. My first prayer every morning is, O Signora mia, O Madre mia, ciò mi affresco di todo te, and pray per mi filial affecto te consagronis a te, mis ojos, mis oídos, mi lengua, mi corazón, en una palabra todo mi ser, ya que soy todo tuya, O Madre bondad, guardami y defiendami, como cosa y posesión tuya. Amen. Okay, don't have it memorized yet in English, so I say it in Spanish, okay? I'm losing my English, okay? My father said, you're the only one I know that got a BA in English and you stopped speaking English, no? Yes?
I have a question. Do you have your book in Spanish too?
No, not yet.
Not yet?
Yeah.
I wanted to share with my friends.
Not yet. I'm going to try to converse with Charlie McKinney to see if he can maybe do it. Problem is this, is that as a whole, the Hispanics read less than those who speak English in this country, as a whole. And they have to make money. So if they make 5,000 copies and only 50 people buy them, it's a lemon. I mean, they lose money. But I would probably tell them, you know, I go off from parish to parish every 5 weeks, and usually it's 300 to 500 people that are buying my book, because of those are the normal number, from, well, 200 to 400 maybe. But I've already thought about that, yeah. Pray that maybe that will be the case.
Because some of my friends, they don't speak English.
Yeah, I know. Many people have asked me the same thing. It's just that being a son of a father who worked on Wall Street, got to make money too. I mean, they have a right to make money. So if they make, as they say, they make 5,000 copies, only 50 people buy it. The others collect dust, they get humid, then you have to just dump it in the Atlantic Ocean. But if the Hispanics in LA are clamoring for it, and you have every day you have 25 people from LA saying, translate in Spanish, and they say, we'll pay for it, and I have a big family of 500 people here in Guadalajara, no? So it has to sell. I hope it will one day, because I think it's a winner. Okay, so first we're talking about living out our consecration. Then, not that you're morally obliged to do this, but what I like to do is, after I say the act of consecration, to kiss the scapular, and the church gives an indulgence every time that you kiss the scapular. Okay, there are certain indulgence practices. Those who kiss the scapular receive a partial indulgence. And obviously, the kissing of the scapular is a symbol in which we're saying, Mary, I love you. You know, you hug, you kiss your mother, and mom, I love you, right? No brainer, right? We do that. This is our way of saying, Mary, I love you. Mary, very tender. She's very sensitive. And Mary, as a good woman, she pays attention to details more than men, okay? Mujeres son detallistas, right? They pay more attention to details than men do, okay? Then what I've done over many years is I kiss it, then I'll take the scapular and I bless my forehead, then my eyes, then my lips, then my tongue 3 times, because I'm one of those non-stop talkers, right? And I talk a lot. And then I bless my heart. So I'm asking Mary, by living up my consecration, I want Mary to take possession of this intellectual apparatus, which we call the mind. my memory, my understanding, my imagination, I want Mary to take control of what goes on in that gray matter, okay? Then the eyes. That I'll be able to, with my eyes, to be able to contemplate the beauty of God. And I'll be able to see God through persons, places, things, and circumstances. I repeat, to be able to see God through persons, places, things, and circumstances. I tell people in spiritual direction, we have to be able to read God. God speaks to us in many ways, but especially three ways. God speaks to us through the written word, which you're doing in your meditations. He speaks to us through the beauty of nature, but also he speaks to us through circumstances of life. And very Ignatian. You've heard of St. Ignatius, you right? The Daily Examen, right? Very, very Ignatian. God speaks to us through people we meet. You want to get me angry, say, good luck, Father. I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in luck. I believe in what's called divine providence, but I don't believe in luck. Nothing happens by chance. Oh, you got lucky. Oh, yeah? I don't believe in that. God is the one that directs our lives in his mysterious plan toward his end, which is our salvation. So we use our eyes to contemplate the greatness of God. The exterior eyes as well as the eyes of faith. Because we got two sets of eyes, okay? The eyes that see the exterior, the eyes that see what's going on. It's called faith. Faith is seeing without believing. And then we want Mary to take control of our lips and our tongue. We want our words to be pleasing to God. We want our words to be pleasing to God. Part of Marian consecration helps us not to speak by mere impulse, but to think before we speak. If we're impetuous or impulsive, we end up by opening up our mouth and hurting people. We have to learn it. Think and then speak. Mary pondered. You know what ponder means? Mary thought very seriously about the Word of God. She pondered the Word of God in her heart. So you start off the day by consecrating yourself to Mary and, if you like, by kissing your scapula. Now, word on the scapular. Scapular is your external sign of consecration to Mary. I repeat, the scapula is your external sign of consecration to Mary. If you want to do good reading on this, there's a lot, but I would suggest to buy the little pamphlet. It's called The Garment of Grace. Okay? Vestida de gracia si hablas español. Okay? Okay? Vestida de gracia, garment of grace, is excellent. Some of you have read that? Excellent. It explains the historicity of it, and then it just gives a series of miracles that have happened over the course of time for those who wear the scapula. I don't remember. I don't remember who the author is. You maybe Google it in and see. But it's a short treatment is the best thing out there. If you're reading it without interruption, you can read it probably in 40 minutes. But the stories are great. No? Just a series of miracles. So that you understand you know that I'm a priest and I'm a religious because I'm wearing a religious habit, okay? How are you able to tell that a man is a soldier? He's got his soldier's garment. How do you know if someone is a baseball player? His uniform, right? So that's an exterior garment manifesting the profession or work that the person carries out. You wear the scapular, you are saying by wearing the scapular, you belong to Mary. You belong to Mary. The word scapular comes from Latin scapula, which means shoulder, because you put it over your shoulder. So you want to go to the etymology of it. Scapula means shoulder. You put it over your shoulder. But it's interesting because part of it is over your heart. The other is over your shoulder, and it's almost as if the Blessed Mother is giving you a big hug. Give you a nice big hug. You're being hugged by Mary. You're being protected by Mary. Okay, to whet your appetite, I'll just tell you one of the many miracles that you can read in that. It's in the life of Saint Alphonsus Liguori, who was one of the greatest devotees of Mary in the history of the Catholic Church. Saint Alphonsus Maria Liguori. You read through the lives of the saints. The saints usually have a lot of friends, but they got a lot of enemies too. How many times did they try to kill John Bosco? Many times, no? How many times they tried to kill John Paul II? More than once. How many of the Cristeros were actually killed, no? For Christ. But St. Alphonsus, one occasion he came out to celebrate the Mass. And in the back of the church, there was a man, one of his enemies, was hiding in the back, and he pulled out a gun and he shot him when he celebrated the Mass, like Romero, okay? But Romero was killed, okay? But what happened was the bullet went through the chasuble, the exterior garment. Then it went through the alb, the white garment. Then it went through his religious habit. Went through his clergyman, the black shirt. Went through his undershirt. And then the bullet was embedded in the scapular and never touched his body. So the Blessed Mother was holding up her hand to save Alphonsus, her beloved son. One of the many miracles. Are we surrounded by spiritual bullets today? Yes. Are we?
Yes.
Many or few?
Many.
Many, right? Now, more than ever, we have to have protection. So many enemies out there today. Materialism, right? Consumerism. Hedonism. Agnosticism. Atheism. Rationalism. Moral relativism. Do I have to go on anymore? Those are all, there's a little bit of philosophy for you. Those are false philosophical systems which are spiritual bullets trying to shoot and kill. But Mary, to protect us. So you start off your day wearing the scapular. Now, in this scapular, scapular I'm wearing, which my mother made for me, what do you feel there?
You have her medallion.
So I have, she sewed the miraculous medal inside one. And whose feast do we celebrate tomorrow? One of your favorite saints, I'm pretty sure. Tomorrow is Saint Benedict.
Saint Benedict.
One of your favorites, right? Okay, so tomorrow is the feast day of Saint Benedict. I have the medal of Saint Benedict, which is one of the most powerful medals against the devil. Okay, it's one of the most powerful medals against the devil. When the priest does an exorcism, he invokes Mary, Jesus, Mary, St. Joseph, St. Michael, and St. Benedict in an exorcism, a formal exorcism. So if you want to make your own scapular, if you're pretty good at sewing, you could actually sew those two medals within your scapular. So you've got the miraculous medal, which is after the scapular, probably the most important exterior sign we can wear. And then the medal of Saint Benedict to protect yourself against the attacks of the enemy. Yeah, if you're consecrated Mary, I can't imagine anyone, you know, walking out the door without the scapular. It's like walking out the door without your head on, okay? For me, I don't have my scapular, I don't feel at peace. So, make sure that you know you're going to be wearing this scapular until you die. By the way, both St. Alphonsus and St. John Bosco, their scapular is incorrupt. After St. Alphonsus, 250 years, John Bosco, 150 years. It's never incorrupt. You know what that means, incorrupt? You know, this should, you know, within a couple of years, it falls apart, no? It's incorrupt. That's a sign that the Blessed Mother is very happy with those who wear their scapular. I try to promote the scapular as much as I can. Children make their first communion, I invest in the scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Technically, once you're invested for the rest of your life, and you become part of the order of the Carmelites. So all of you will belong to the Carmelite order on Monday. Now, even if you received your scapular when I was a child, you know, I was born in the mid-50s, I know, at least in New York, when you made your first communion, they would invest you in the scapular, also in California, but in New York,
Massachusetts,
yes. I don't know about here in California or in the Philippines, but you would just be invested. And once you're invested for the rest of your life. So technically, I don't have to bless the scapular again, but everyone says, Father, bless my scapular. I don't want to have to give a theological explanation. I just bless it again anyway, no? So once blessed, even though you get another, it doesn't have to be blessed again. The first blessing lasts your whole life. The scapula is important. Now, when Our Lady of Fatima did appear, she appeared six times. When she appeared in October, have any of you ever read the message of Our Lady of Fatima, any of you? Okay, the sixth time she appeared St. Joseph appeared to the child Jesus, then Our Lady of Sorrows appeared, then Our Lady of Mount Carmel appeared. With the, you know, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, if you ever met a Carmelite nun, she has a long flowing robe, and that long flowing robe has that long scapular that they wear. You have a small scapular, but the scapulars can be, they can be 4 feet long. So Our Lady of Fatima appeared as Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And Lucia is going to become a nun. She'll first become a Dorothean nun, then she'll become a Carmelite nun. Well, she'll die in Coimbra, Portugal, in the year 2005, the 13th of February, almost 100 years old. Okay? Our Lady said she can live a little bit longer, a lot longer. Okay, so what are other ways in which we can live out our consecration? So the consecration is not an act separated from the rest of your life. Rather, it permeates your whole life. It penetrates your whole being. So what it means is that you're giving yourself totally to Jesus through Mary. I repeat, you're giving yourself totally to Jesus through Mary. So that means you no longer belong to yourself. Now that should give you a lot of peace. Really should. I don't like to belong to myself. That scares the living dickens out of me. It does, no? Living daylights out of me. It really does. I want to belong to Mary. St. Louis de Montfort calls her our divine treasurer. We give everything to Mary. So starting on Monday, you no longer belong to yourself. You belong totally to Mama Mary. You like that?
Amen.
So that should give you incredible peace. Incredible peace. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to Mary. You belong to Mary, totally, unreservedly. So let's talk about that, okay? Your time. Your past. That belongs to Mary. You're going to say, well, it's already over. Why do you talk about the past? I say that because a lot of people still live in the past. Many of us, maybe. We still live in the past. What do you mean? Well, all of us have wounds. We all have wounds. Starting with the original wound is called original sin. All of us have wounds of the past in which people have hurt us. And we've hurt people too. It's a two-way street. All of you have nightmares in the past. The ghosts of the past that want to come to haunt you in the present. can use a literary term, okay? The ghosts of the past, the specters of the past that loom up and they want to rattle your cage in the present moment. So what do you do? Okay, you have this thought of the past that is tormenting you. It happens. Say, for example, probably here there's someone that had an abortion. It's very probable. That thought comes and it torments you. And you can't live in peace. Give that to Mary. Give it to her. Give it to her. Give it to her. Your past, it belongs to Mary. Give it to her. Everything. You're saying, well, Father, I'm making this consecration. I am 55 years old. 43 years of my life was totally dedicated to sin. Give it to Mary. Give it to her. You give yourself to Mary even though 43 years of your life was thrown in the trash, the moral trash. Give it to Mary, you can become the greatest saint. Do you believe? I believe. You can. No, but Father, you know, you got to trust Mary's powerful. Very powerful. One of my favorite biblical passages is the good thief. He lives a very bad life. Very end, he said, Lord, remember me when you'll come into your kingdom. And what did Jesus say? Amen, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. And he died a thief because he stole heaven. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Stole heaven. There are many people that can't get out of the past. They can't get out. Give it to Mary. Give it to her. Then the other side of the coin, there are a lot of people that are living in the future. And they're living more in the future than they're living in the present. It's the other side of the coin. Now, what does Jesus say about this? Don't forget that our consecration to Mary is our consecration to Jesus. You've heard me say that time and time again. I mention Mary, I mention Jesus. There's no separation. They're intimately connected. Have you ever read Matthew chapter 6? The Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, look at the lilies of the field. Look at the birds of the air. The birds of the air, they don't worry about what they're going to eat tomorrow. I've never met a bird that was flying to a psychologist. Have you? I never met one yet, okay? I haven't. Maybe you have. I haven't. Or has gastritis or ulcer because they're worrying about tomorrow, no? And then Jesus says, look at the lilies of the field. Even Solomon, arrayed with all of his beauty, is not as beautiful as the beautiful flowers of the field. Jesus says, don't worry. You know how many times he says that? Let me go back and count. I think it's about 4 or 5 times he says, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. And he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be given you beside. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Yesterday when I was sitting at the table with the priest and Brother Leland, I said, you know, you were not in Italy, but I lived in Italy for 7 years. I was able to travel a little bit to Naples and a little bit to the north. Any of you ever been to Italy? Okay, the northern part, you got Turin and Milan are the two big cities in the north, okay? And Turin, that's where John Bosco worked. But also I mentioned to them, and this is for you people now. There's a saint, which I don't think any of you ever heard of. He lived at the same time as John Bosco. His name was Giuseppe Cottolengo. Okay? Saint Joseph Cottolengo, which means cooked wood in Italian. No? And he was a man that really lived out consecration to Mary. And what he did, he loved the handicapped. So much so that he actually founded a congregation of blind contemplative nuns. The only one in the world. They're blind, totally blind. And they're contemplative nuns. And they're praying and offering up their blindness, their suffering for the church. So he set up in Turin, a place is called La Piccola Casa. Parla italiano? La Piccola Casa would be in Spanish casita, the little house. It seemed to be funny because it's really not a little house. Right now it's like a little city in which the blind, the deaf, the paralyzed, the retarded, the autistic, all those with problems, emotional, physical problems, they live there. And the interesting thing is, it's supported by donations on a daily basis. And it's existed for 150 years. Let me tell you a story related to our consecration of Mary. Okay, he was always in debt. But he had a total unreserved confidence in Mary. So he had a huge debt, and he told one of his workers, now go to the baker and get some bread for our people. They have to eat tonight. And the lady says, okay, Father, thank you for choosing me to carry out that mission. But give me the money. He said, what? Give me the money. He said, I don't have any money. Well, how do you expect me to get the bread if you don't give me the money? Well, just go and get the bread. So she's kind of befuddled. How am I going to get the bread? So she's heading to the baker. And all of a sudden, this beautiful, majestic woman stops him on the street. Says, where are you going? Well, I'm going to the baker. I don't have any money, but Father Cottolengo told me to go and get the bread there for the poor people. And she says, open up your hands. And she gives him a huge sum of money, which was enough to pay for the debt and to pay for just enough bread for that day. And that was the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Yep. Amen.
MDP, Mother Divine Providence. The school I taught in 1978 to 79 before becoming a priest in Philadelphia, Mother Divine Providence. So your consecration is this. You're giving your whole self to Mary. Your past, your present, and your future. I'd like to say this also. Right now, in this little church, every one of you here, young and small, old and young, every one of you have something in your heart that's bothering you. Might be something that's very small. Others might have some problem that's bigger. Some of you might have some monumental problem. All of us have a thorn in our heart right now. I do, and so do you. Admit it. Now, if you just keep it yourself, it's going to fester and it's going to get worse and worse. And that's going to be transformed into sadness and depression. You're going to be sad and depressed. But if you can take that, whatever it is, and even tonight, before your picture of Mama Mary, open up and talk to Mary about that. Incredible peace is going to come. I promise you. You got to trust. And the bigger the problem is, the more you got to trust in Mary. Amen? The bigger the problem, the more you got to trust her. Don't forget that Mary is the daughter of God the Father. Mary is the mother of God the Son. Mary is the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. Mary is the mother of the church. Hey, if an angel came and appeared to you and to me, I would kneel down. When an angel appears to Mary, he kneels down in front of Mary. Because she is the queen of the angels. She's superior to the angels. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. She's very gentle, she's very loving, she's very merciful, but she's very powerful. The Mexicans from Guadalajara call her La Generala del Ejército. I love that. ¿Habla español? La Generala del Ejército. She's the general of the army. She's the one that prevented that disaster during Marcus. Remember the Philippines? They saw the Blessed Mother in the sky. They're about to kill all these children and mothers. Mary appeared, and they put down their guns, right? Beautiful story in the Philippines. There would have been thousands of innocent people killed. They saw a lady in the sky. My friend, this world is going to obtain peace only through the intercession of Mary. Do you believe it? That's why last week I encouraged you to try to see if we can get that new dogma. Okay? Mary is mediatrix, Mary is co-redemptrix, and Mary as helper of all Christians. So my friends, this week you have another week of meditation, the Sorrows of Mary, which I wrote on that. But next Monday, I hope and pray, is going to be the happiest day in your life. Because you're going to be giving all you are, all you have, your past, your present, your future, all that you have, you're going to be placing in the hands and heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So may God bless you. I'm going to be praying for you that this will be the best week in your life. Amen.
Thank you.